Now, I'd be very grateful if you could turn in your Bibles to page 164 to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at the latter part of verse 28, not quite the very end, but because we've already dealt with the last gift that's mentioned, and we're thinking tonight of the two gifts of helpers and administrators. If you look at verse 28, there they are, slipped in between all these other gifts. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Now we're carrying on our evening series. Those of you who've been coming over the weeks will know that so far we've already, over the past 2 months, looked at tongues. We've looked at tongues and interpretation. We've looked at the gift of discerning spirits, of prophecy, of miracles, of faith, of healing. And then last week we looked very helpfully at the subject of the utterance of knowledge and of wisdom. And we come tonight to the gifts of helpers and administrators. Now, I want to be very personal right from the start tonight, because I know some of you know I'm not a great administrator. That's the understatement of the year. And I would say to you that probably of all the gifts, you probably won't believe this, but of all the spiritual gifts that I covered for myself, the one that I really wished God had given me, but he doesn't seem to have given me, is the gift of administration. For some reason, I have never been able to administrate. I've read books about administration. I even went to a conference for church leaders and traveling secretaries and other people, but with an American speaker on how to administrate, and it's absolutely had no effect on me, or that I can see. I find that virtually everything I touch administratively turns into a disaster. And so I want to just say right from the start tonight that I'm indebted to a number of people in this church family. I'm indebted to Rosemary Stace, because she basically administers the international team, and if it wasn't for her, it would just be a disaster. And I'm indebted to Anne Cooper, I can't see her, but she usually sits up there on the left, for all that she does in administering the parish visiting team. And I quickly discovered that because I didn't have this gift of administration, that whenever I went on missions as a traveling secretary with the UCCF, I regularly had to appoint an administrator so that the mission would get through. And to me, this is a very, very real example of the way that God gifts different people with different gifts. For example, Michael, he often picks on me when he's preaching. Well, I'm going to pick on him tonight. Michael really doesn't like preaching at evangelistic guest services. He just doesn't enjoy it. He gets quite worked up about it, whereas I really enjoy that. I love it. It's a great thrill to me. Whereas for me, a nightmare, actually it's about to happen when he goes, I'm in charge. But he's actually organized it so well, it's all right while he's away. But a nightmare for me would be to lead a church group from All Souls round the Holy Land. That to me would be a complete nightmare. Getting people, a group, to certain locations at a certain time. Whereas Michael just loves that. And getting the timetables out and working out routes and things like that. Because he has the gift of administration, and I don't. And I actually even find administrating my own mail difficult. And it's been a great help to have somebody to help me even on that. So I'm glad to speak to you on this subject tonight. You can learn a lot from me. Now, I just want to say a couple of other things in introduction, then we'll get right down to it. Would you like to turn to Acts chapter 6? It's page 117. And you will see an example very quickly of how the early church had to appoint people to administer and to look after practical needs. You probably all know the story well. It was a dispute between the widows of the Hellenists. They were the Greek-speaking Jews, were murmuring or complaining that they weren't getting their amount of the daily distribution. And so the apostles had to set aside seven men, and among them there was Stephen. And I want you to notice their job. Look at verse 2. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Their job was to serve tables and also to administer or to distribute the funds to the poor. And I want you to notice, as Luke goes on, how these people were described in verse 3. They were people of good repute, men of good repute. They were full of the Holy Spirit, and they were full of wisdom. And then they were commissioned by the apostles. They laid their hands on them and prayed for them. And I want you to notice the result straight away. As soon as they appointed these administrators, they were deacons, verse 7, the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests, even the priests, were obedient to the faith. So it shows, the early church shows us right from the very start, there is a very crucial link between the practical and the spiritual side of any work for God. Both are absolutely vital. Preaching is vital, prayer is vital, but so is the work of administration. You need prophets, you need apostles, you need evangelists, you need pastors, but you also need people with the gifts of helps and with the gifts of administration. And I would like to say to you, if those of you who are, perhaps some of you have just come in here for the first time, or maybe you've been coming here for a few weeks, or even a few months, if you knew the amount of administrative work that is done in this church every week, you would be staggered. The amount of work that the administrative staff here do every week is mind-blowing. And we are exceptionally fortunate here that not only have we got a rector who has a great gift for administration, but we've got a team of people behind him, such as Nick and Pippa and David and Tim and dear Dot, who's leaving us, lucky thing, to go to California, and Pam and Arthur and others, and Christine in the kitchen, who back him up. And this church wouldn't grow in the way that it's growing if it wasn't for the superb administrative staff that we have. And I just wanted to say that. It's very important that we realize that one of the clues, one of the keys to the success of the ministry here, week by week, is that we have got a very gifted group of administrators. Now, let's look at go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and we want to look at these two gifts. First of all, helpers. Now, the new NIV, the New International Version, translates what the RSV translates helpers as those who are able to help others. Now, it's very interesting that if you look up the word, which we have translated here, helpers, the Greek word, it is used only once in the whole of the Bible, the word that Paul uses for helpers in this particular context. It's used only once. But he does use other words for helpers, which we translate in the RSV as helpers or fellow workers, and they come more regularly in the New Testament. Now, the gift of helps, or the gift of being a helper, actually means the gift of being able to support or assist someone. And you've only got to look through Paul's letters, through his epistles, to realize that he often refers to his helpers. or to those who travelled with him and supported him in the work that God had called him to do. And he calls them on a number of occasions fellow workers. These were people who had the gift of helps. He mentions them in Romans chapter 16 verse 3, people such as Prisca and Priscilla and Aquila, and also verse 9, Urbanus. Now these were Paul's helpers. They were his fellow workers, people with this gift of helps who supported him. And Paul's ministry would not have been as developed without these helpers that he had. Now I thought it would be good for a few minutes just to have a Bible study and to look at one of them. So can you turn to page 186 to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at one of these helpers or fellow workers. Philippians chapter 2 verses 25 to 30. And it's about a chap called Epaphroditus, verses 25 to 30. And I'm not going to read them out, but I read the verses out, but I'm going to refer to them. Now this Epaphroditus is a vivid example in the New Testament of a man who was a helper, or he had the gift of helps. And what seems to have happened was that the Philippians heard that Paul was in prison. And when they heard that he was in prison, they sent him a gift. And the person who went with the gift was Epaphroditus. So he took the gift from the Philippian Christians to Paul. And not only did he take the gift to Paul, but it seems that he also went, while Paul was in prison in Rome, to be Paul's personal servant and attendant while he was in Rome. Now, there are three things that really strike me about Epaphroditus. The first one is in verse 25. The first thing about him was that he ministered to a need. Look at verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Paul was sending him back to the Philippians, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. In other words, Epaphroditus acted. He didn't wait to help Paul, but he went. He didn't wait to be asked, he went straight away. And in Epaphroditus' case, it meant real bravery, because he ran a great risk in going to help Paul in Rome. He ran the risk of being involved in the same crime the same charge that Paul was involved in. Now, I want to say right from the start that that is one of the marks of a person who's got the gift of helps, or who is a helper, somebody who is able to help others. He ministers to a need as soon as he sees it. He doesn't stop to count the cost first, but he moves in to help when he's faced with a need. That's what Epaphroditus did. And there's a great need for that here at All Souls. There is a great need for people who will do that, who as soon as they see a need, rather than going and telling one of the staff or going and telling someone else, will move quickly to meet the need. I remember seeing vividly in one person when I was a traveling secretary. He was always moving to help. He moved very quickly to help people as soon as he saw a need. Now that's the first thing, he ministered to a need. Now the second thing that strikes me about Epaphroditus, this helper, was that he was really deeply committed to the work of the gospel and to what Paul was doing. Look at verse 25. He's described as my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. In other words, he was sympathetic with Paul. He was one with Paul in Paul's work. That's why Paul could call him a fellow worker. He stood with Paul in the danger that Paul faced. And he was not only that, he was a fellow soldier. And Paul says he's also a messenger and a minister. So his action of helping, the reason he was a helper, was because of his commitment to the work. And we will only have people who are helpers, or we'll only have people who become helpers if they're deeply committed to the work here. And then the third thing that strikes me in verse 29 is that Paul says of him that he risked his life. Look at verse 29. He nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete your service to me. It seems that whilst he was in Rome visiting Paul with this gift from the Philippian church, that he fell to a fever. Perhaps it was the Roman fever that swept the city from time to time. And what seems to have happened is that news had travelled back to Philippi of Epaphroditus' illness. And Epaphroditus was worried about the Christians back in Philippi worrying about him. Look at verse 26. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Now, I like this little phrase, he risked his life, because it's interesting. In the early church, there were a group of people who were called the Paraboloni, and they were called the gamblers. And they were the people in the early church who used to risk their lives visiting those who were in prison, visiting the sick, particularly those who were sick with dangerous and infectious diseases. And groups from the early church used to go and visit these people. And they risked their lives for the people that they went to visit. Now that's what Epaphroditus did. He risked his life for Paul and for the gospel, because of his desire to complete the Philippian service to Paul. Now here was a man, a classic case of a man in the New Testament who had the gift of helps. Someone who ministered to a need as soon as he saw it. Someone who was deeply committed to the work, and that's why he got involved, and someone who was prepared to risk his life. Now the second gift that we have mentioned here is the gift of administrators. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. I just want to pick out a few things before I finish with some practical suggestions. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Helpers, administrators. Now the Greek word, which we translate as administrators, or as the NIV puts it, those with the gift of administration, literally referred to the pilot of a boat or a ship who would steer the ship through the rocks and through the heavy seas into the safety of the harbour. Now that is the gift that Paul's talking about here, the person with the gift of an administrator. Now it's a very essential work, and although often in the foreground you have preachers and teachers, the work of ministry could never be done unless there are those behind the preachers and the teachers with the gift of administration who do the day-by-day administration. Now the church has always needed administrators, whether they are ordained or non-ordained. They are vital to the work of the church. And it seems that those with the gift of administration often seem to correspond with the elders who Paul and the other apostles used to appoint to lead and to run the churches. Now it's good to remind ourselves again of what such people were to be like. Would you like to turn to page 195 to 1 Timothy 3? So it's one of those coach tour Bible studies. 1 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 7. And Paul says that the saying is sure, if anyone desires to the office of bishop or elder, he desires a noble task. Now, a bishop must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, sensible, dignified, hospitable, an apt teacher, no drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, and no lover of money. Now, this was the verse that struck me. Look at verse 4. He must manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive and respectful in every way. And it seems that for someone to have been an elder or somebody to have been an administrator in the early church, one of the marks of an administrator must be that he can manage his own household well. If he can't manage his own household well, he's not going to be able to manage the church. But the basic thrust of 1 Timothy 3 is that people who were elders, many of whom seem to have had the gift of administration, were people with a sound moral character. Now, the only other thing I want to say about administrators before I tie this up is that I think it's significant that Paul includes the gift of helpers and administrators among all the other gifts. So there they are, the gift of helpers and administrators, and notice what he tucks them in the middle of. He tucks them in the middle of healers, teachers, workers of miracles, speakers in various kinds of tongues. And he's been talking about people with the gift of the utterance of knowledge and of wisdom and prophecy. And then right in the middle, he puts helpers and administrators. Now, I think that's very important, because all these gifts, including the gift of helps, being able to support and come alongside, and the gift of administration, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's so important. He's not saying that some gifts, like the gifts of prophecy or tongues or the utterance of wisdom or of knowledge, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit, but if you're a helper or an administrator, that's not. He's not saying that. He's saying all these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. In other words, all of these gifts are needed if the church is going to function properly. Now, I find, it's very sad this, but I often find that people, when they use the term charismatic, they so often use the term as if it only describes the person with a particular spiritual gift, namely the gift of speaking in tongues. Usually people say, "Are you charismatic?" meaning, "Do you have the gift of speaking in tongues?" Whereas Paul's saying here, as clear as a pikestaff, that the gifts of helpers and administrators is also a gift of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it's a charismatic gift. And therefore, if somebody comes up and says, "Are you charismatic?" If you've got the gift of a helper, then you are. You're charismatic. Now, you might have the gift of administration, and you may also speak in tongues. But speaking in tongues doesn't make you more or less charismatic than if you've got the gift of administration. Now, I think that's so important that Paul does put these gifts right in the middle there of that long list. So, we have a very charismatic rector, because he has an amazing gift of administration. I think that's very important. I really wanted to say that strongly. Now, I want to finish with some pastoral considerations in the last few minutes. Pastoral considerations basically mean I want to be practical. So I want to finish with four practical suggestions. The first thing is this: use your gift for the body of Christ. Now, I'd like you, just in conclusion, to turn to one final verse on page 218, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. And Peter says this: "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." In other words, if you've got a gift, use it for one another. Now, the church needs as many gifts as possible. We need every single gift that a person has got to offer. There is no gift that cannot be placed at the disposal of Christ. Now, let's just take these two gifts that we've thought of tonight, the gift of helpers and administrators. Take helpers. Within a month, when all the tourists have gone and the church fills back up again with, you know, our church family, and London will be filling up again come September, October, with students. Thousands and thousands of students are going to come to London looking for accommodation. And when we start in full swing again come September, we are going to need in this church many, many helpers. For example, we are going to need many, many people who will help in visiting in the parish. There is a great need for that. We are going to need helpers who will visit the elderly in the parish. Do you know there are many, many elderly people in the parish? We need people who will visit them. We need new helpers for the student team who will work amongst students. We need new helpers for the international team to develop the work among international people. We need new helpers to help with the folk teas on Sundays. We need new helpers who will make cakes for the welcome teas. We need new helpers to help with the tape library. We need new helpers to help with suppers and lunches. We need new helpers who will just chat with the hundreds and hundreds of people that we'll be getting here in September. Do you know there's one chap who comes here and he just comes just to chat to people at the end of a service. So I want to ask you, will you use your gift for other people? And we have an orange desk downstairs. And there are so many people who come here, and as they get into the life of the church, they want to do something. Well, go down to the orange desk and say, look, I want to help. Who will use me? So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is from 1 Peter 4, verse 11. He goes on, he says, whoever speaks as one who utters oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies. And the second thing I want to say is, whatever your gift is, do it in the strength that God gives you. If you speak, you're to speak as someone who's speaking God's word. And if you render service, if you've got the gift of administration or the gift of a helper, then do it with all the might that God gives you, with all of his strength. Now let me just say, working for Christ is hard. It's hard work, working for him. And sometimes I think those of us who are involved in the Lord's work, sometimes we're in danger of not really putting our backs into it. And it's for the Lord that we're doing these things. So whatever we do, it must be done in God's strength. Thirdly, I want to say, if you're not an administrator, if you're somebody like me, then find one. As I've said, I've learnt to do this. I remember when I was a travelling secretary with the UCCF, I used to travel with somebody called Mary Curry. I don't know whether she's here tonight. I can't see her. She might be. And I remember I used to go to these Christian unions with Mary. Now, Mary has the gift of administration. And the Christian unions used to say, Roger, will you come and do a mission? And I said, yeah, fine. You know, or will you come and speak? Fine. And I went around saying, yes, yes. And I remember one occasion I was just committing myself to go and speak at this university. And Mary said, you can't go there, Roger, because you're already to some other university. So she took to taking two diaries with her, her diary and my diary, so that when people offered to book or asked to book me up, and I was willing to say yes, she would say, no, you can't, because he's off somewhere else. So if you're not an administrator, find one. And the fourth thing I want to finish with is, be patient with those of us who aren't good administratively. That's a personal plea, Michael. And we need to accept help, because often we're not very good at delegating, and we need to rejoice in each other's gifts and thank God for the different gifts that we have, and be patient as we are here. And I might add, because I can almost hear Mushi saying it to me in my right ear, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you might be an administrator.